Well, welcome, you guys. Good to see everybody.
Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it. You guys are too easy.
Well, welcome to Reengage. And if you're visiting with us tonight, we're especially grateful that you're here. But I have to confess, I'm really grateful for those of you who have really stuck with it. It amazes me when I talk with our leaders how just how many of you who have started this journey, how just the ripple effect of your just physically showing up has on our lives. And so we're just really grateful for all of you guys being here tonight. One of the things that just kind of in the rhythm and the routine of Reengage, you know, we oftentimes will do a couple testimonies 1 week, and then generally speaking we'll have a short teaching time the next week. And so tonight's one of those short teaching times, kind of a devotional thought. And you know, we have different folks come up and share some of those things. And so really, we're not trying to overwhelm you. We don't want to give you big, huge things that you kind of walk out of here and you just feel guilty about that you're not doing in your marriage. But I just kind of give you a warning. Tonight might be one of those nights. And I have to be honest with you. I think part of it is because I started feeling really guilty as I was putting this stuff together. So if you start feeling a little bit of push on you that this is one of those areas that is just not present in your marriage, be encouraged, because a lot of us have got a lot of room to grow here, I think. And this is one of those areas of love, one of those characteristics of love that just, I don't know about for you, but at least for me, it is not one of the first things that comes to my mind. Honestly, when I first think about what does love really look like, you know, and I try to think about my relationship with Christ or what does it look like between Rebecca and I, and this is not what I usually think of, things like commitment, you know, kind of that, like that, you know, love never ends sort of thing. And there's that staying power. And I usually think of that as kind of one of those key components of what love looks like. Or sometimes I think of kind of those warm, just that closeness and intimacy. And sometimes those are the ways that I feel loved the most. But the thing that we're going to talk about tonight is something that honestly I have been working on for a while. And I just know that it's true. And I know that it is not probably typically characteristic of my marriage. And so it presses on me. This is good for me to think about with you guys. One of the things that I used to do growing up is I loved sports, you guys. Sports was one of those real key parts of my growing up years. And looking back on it, I don't know that I was that great of an athlete. In fact, I know that I'm not, but there was something about the competition. There was something about being on a team that I loved being on a team. I loved playing basketball. I loved playing football. I loved soccer. I loved playing baseball. I mean, even now, I am just totally addicted to sports, and it doesn't even matter what it is. I love tennis. I love golf. I love watching it. I love watching, particularly team sports, though. There's something about team sports that kind of fascinate me. And so as I was preparing for this one, I was thinking about when I was in high school, and I really loved watching basketball. I've shared with some of you guys, I'm 6'8 now, but when I was growing up, I was one of the smallest kids in my class. Yep. Yeah. And you should see some of the people that I went to high school with, if they saw me now. And a few of them, I went to a reunion a couple years ago, one of those big ones. I can't remember what number it was, but I remember showing up at it, and I saw some of the football players, some of the guys who are like offensive linemen, and I looked at them, and I was like, they're like way down here now, and I could like snap them like a twig. I mean, I was like, you're kidding me. And they kept looking at me like going, man, you look a lot like Chip, but like eight of you. You know, I mean, there's like, and not only tall, but even just physically, I used to be so skinny, you guys. In fact, I could still hear the skinny jokes going in my mind. And so I used to just be this little bitty guy. And so I played basketball, which meant I didn't really play a whole lot. But when I did, I was like one of the small guards. So if you know positions in basketball, I was not the center. I was not one of the forwards. I wasn't even the shooting guard. I was like the little tiny guy who would bring the ball up. And I remember really trying to fall in love with basketball. And some of my idols, some of my favorite players watching basketball were guys who were point guards or guys who would, their main job was to get the ball to the other people on the team so they could do their deal. And I loved, like, Magic Johnson. Anybody from kind of that era, you remember watching Magic? A few of you, good. Yeah. But here's what I loved about him. So character-wise, I didn't know anything about him. But all I know is I loved how he made all the other players on the team really, really good. He made them all look really good. He had all these kind of behind-the-back passes and kind of Pete Maravich kind of stuff, you know, things that you just couldn't imagine, and you know, all these great tricks. And it was interesting to watch him and other players like him. I can remember watching Isaiah Thomas. They were like some of my favorite guards. They would always give the ball to the other players. They would never finish the game with the most points, but they would always lead the team in assists. And so here's what I want you guys to be thinking about is, in, at least in my marriage, I am always fighting Rebecca for who's going to be the leading scorer. I like want more stage time. I want more spotlight. I want it to really be about me. And very rarely am I content to be kind of the assist guy. And it's funny, when I think back about basketball, the guys who I really idolized were the ones who made the other players really good around them. In fact, I was thinking about this earlier today, that how much I enjoyed watching Magic play and Isaiah. And it was right around that time that Michael Jordan came out of college, and it was like a big deal. He wasn't the number one pick; he was the number two pick. And I don't know if you remember the first few years he was on the Bulls, and the Bulls were horrible. I mean, that's how come you get a good pick, is if your team really stinks. And so, and I remember the first few years I hated watching Michael Jordan, and it was very simple. There couldn't have been a more selfish player on the team. He took every shot, flailing all over the place. Yeah, he'd score 40 points a game, but he'd shoot the ball like 90 times. And I just thought, what a loser. Who would ever want to play on that guy's team? I mean, honestly, who would ever want to play on that guy's team? And, of course, his team continued to lose. He just stunk. I mean, he did all these great dunks and had the tongue hanging out, but I hated him. I really hated watching him. I'd turn the channel. I don't watch it. But by the end of his career, this guy was phenomenal, and they you know, began to win championships left and right. And he learned a real simple thing, and that was his team was going to win if he could share the ball and make the other players around him better. And now, I mean, you look back over his career and you almost kind of forget that season of his career where he was just so selfish. And I have to tell you guys, my marriage, I think it has that same sort of trajectory on it. The first few years of our marriage, I am not thinking about passing the ball. I am not thinking about, how do I help Rebecca excel at her position? How do I help Rebecca become the best wife? I hate to say it, but that thought like never even crossed my mind. The only thing I thought about with Rebecca was, how is she going to help me be me? And if I was going to help her, it was going to be to inform her about how best to support me. And that's how I served her. I'm telling you, it was just like Michael Jordan. It was like, hey guys, here's the way we're going to win, is you get the ball to me on this place on the court, and then you guys can, like, you know, tell me off and, you know, tell me how great I am at the end. And I'm telling you, that's kind of how our relationship went. But it's funny how you watch that kind of change. I have to tell you guys, I love Rebecca, but I love her in a whole different way than I used to. I love watching Rebecca excel and to be successful. There is a joy that comes from watching my wife be all that God created her to be, that I totally missed out the first few years of our marriage. In fact, I have to tell you, the things that she's good at really rubbed me the wrong way when we got married. And I think about those things now, and I'm telling you, I go to bed at night sometimes thanking God out loud that my wife has those traits. And I remember there were times early in our marriage when I went to bed going, Lord Jesus, you're going to have to supernaturally remove that and extract that from her character. And I'm begging you. I'm serious. There are things about Rebecca that I remember early on just thinking, I don't know how I'm going to make it, Lord. You're going to have to help me. And now I look at those things and I'm like, oh, Jesus, thank you. So Rebecca's working this week. She's doing some consulting stuff. And she's normally a stay-at-home mom, but there's a few. She works about maybe about 30 days a year. And so this week, I've been helping get the kids off to school, and I'm telling you, just in little things, you guys, I am so thankful for my wife. So Tuesday, yesterday morning, I am not kidding you, we're walking out the door. I've got my kids, both of them. You don't know how big that is. I had them both. And so they had their clothes on, they had backpacks, and we're in the car, we're getting in the car, and Jill goes, Dad, what do I have for lunch today? And I said, I don't know. What do you... And I looked at Josh, I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm buying lunch today. And I was like, sweetheart, you're buying lunch today. That's what you got. And she goes, Dad, come on. She goes, really? Did you make my sandwich and stuff? And I'm like, no, sweetheart. She goes, well, Mom always helps me do that. And I'm like, you're kidding me. Well, let's go back inside. So we went back inside. And you would have thought I would have made the lunch, but Jill was like, show me where the baggies were, where the peanut butter is. She made her lunch. And I was kind of there supporting her. But the whole time I'm like going, I could have totally, that would like never even dawn on me that my child has to eat later in the day. And I'm telling you, Rebecca is, she's like on autopilot. She has got that stuff down, you guys. And I know it's just a little thing, but my wife is crazy organized. I love how organized she is. And I'm telling you guys, there was a time in our marriage when I cursed how organized she was. And I'm not kidding you. It really threatened our marriage. I felt like spiritually she was not mature enough, and that's why she was so organized. You think I'm kidding. Lord Jesus, help her trust you. She is way too organized. I would pray those things. And I'm telling you, now I am so thankful. There are things about Rebecca where if she were here, it would totally embarrass her. So that's why we're doing this tonight, is because she's not here. If she were up here giving this talk, I'd have to show up that night, because I love having her tell me how great I am about some stuff. But it embarrasses her. She actually is modest about those things. You guys, she, not only is she really, really organized, she is so compassionate. There are people kind of around her where she's kind of attentive to what they're feeling and what they're thinking in a way that I am just clueless about. I would just run over people, and unless Rebecca were, hey, Chip, you need to back up. Well, wait, before you back up, there's a person there you just ran over. We need to go check on them. And I'm like, you're kidding me, really? And she'll help me with that stuff. I used to think, come on, sweetheart, you're just being way too kind of bleeding heart. Not everybody's that fragile. She's like, no, really, you hurt some folks. There are times, you guys, I'm not kidding you, if it were up to me, I would never have people in our house. You think I'm kidding, but I am dead serious. I could totally be like a professional hermit. I love darkness. I love like a good book and no sounds. Like the worst place in the world to go for me would be like Chuck E. Cheese. You know, it's like I get way overstimulated. I cannot. And so my natural drift in life is to not really invite people into our world. And my wife, I'm telling you, she has a spiritual God-given gift of hospitality. And she loves people and invites them into our world in a way that just I marvel at. There are times where we don't stop everything. She'll invite them on little things with us. Hey, we've got to go run some errands. Let's ask the next door neighbor's kids if they want to come with us. I'm like, are you kidding me? She's like, yeah, that way if we're talking about, you know, Jesus and stuff, they'll kind of pick up on it while we're at the post office. I'm like, all right, have fun with that. You know, I'm like, I'll make room in the car. I'll stay here and you go get the kids. And I would never invite people into our world. She, even during a busy week when I think, oh, there's just no gas left in the tank, I'm telling you. So this week, she's working 3 days this week, which she will be absolutely zapped. She's already worked out plans on Friday night and Saturday night to have a couple of two different families that our kids are kind of friends with and people that we've just kind of connected in the neighborhood with that are going to come over and have dinner with us. And I'm telling you right now, I'm thinking about that going, oh, I would much rather just veg out and zone out in front of the TV and not do anything. And yet my wife is thinking about how do I reach out and care for these people. I mean, it just amazes me. And those were the things that used to rub me raw. And I'm just so thankful for those things. So the message tonight for you guys is I want you guys to figure out how do we love our spouse in a way that champions the other person's role in life. How do you become somebody who is going to help your spouse excel at what God has called them to do? So here's the thing, is that I didn't decide what Rebecca's job and what her role in her ministry and life was going to be. I helped her figure it out. I love giving her feedback and saying, sweetheart, you're really good at this. You might want to think about spending some more energy and time developing that skill. And so we do things to actually help her to be able to do what she does well. And she does it for the glory of God. And I'm telling you, it is absolutely amazing to watch. Rebecca, as I've shared with you guys at other times, she grew up in a really great Christian home. So she grew up with really good Bible knowledge and really good kind of moral compass. And, you know, whereas hers is pointed, you know, due north, you know, mine's kind of like southeast. I don't know which way I'm going half the time. And she's just really solid on some of this stuff. But when it came to like actually living life and applying God's word to it, that was not one of her best things. She had a lot of good cognitive knowledge, a lot of intellectual knowledge about the Bible. But in terms of like connecting it with stuff, she just kind of had rules that she did. And that was kind of the way her spiritual walk went. Well, I have to tell you, about 6 years ago now, Rebecca told me, she said, "Hey, I'm going to go to this women's Bible study." And I went, "Oh, that's great, sweetheart. I hope it goes well for you, even though you already know everything in the Bible. And maybe there'll be some new nuances that you'll pick up on." And she went, and I encouraged her to go, and she was, you know, so I supported her. And it was funny to watch as that year went by, where I watched her kind of fall in love with the Bible for the first time. It was really, really cool. So then the next year comes around, and she goes, "Hey, Chip, they asked me to be one of the little small group leader people." And I went, "Oh, well, I'm sure you'll have fun with that. You know, keep in touch. As long as it doesn't, you know, break into my hermit schedule, then we're cool." And so she did, and she went and did that. And I watched her, you guys. I'm telling you, there was one night, I still remember this. I got home from church. I was working at another church somewhere else, so this is years ago. And I was way exhausted. I'd not set really good boundaries, so I was really spent. And so I got home, I walked into the kitchen, and so it was way late at night, and it had been like the third or fourth night that week. I came in way too late. And I walk in, and as I'm saying hi to Rebecca and the kids, the phone rings. And my eyes roll, and I'm dead serious. I thought, and I told her, I said, "If that's someone from the church, lie to them. Tell them..." I said, "Come up with something really fast, because I am not taking that phone call." And she looked right at me, and she goes, "You better go get those kids in bed." And so they were just, I said, "Okay, tell them I'm putting the kids down." And so I was like, "Kids, get in bed so mom doesn't have to lie." You know, and so she waits and lets the phone ring a little bit, and I'm like hustling to bed. And I could hear her. She goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry. He's not available. He's putting our kids to bed." And I went, "Whew." You know, I don't even care if the kids are in bed. I'm just like, "Oh, good, I ducked that one." And so I'm back there putting the kids down and praying with them and, you know, doing real spiritual stuff, I'm sure. But I'm serious. So I thought, I better not come out, because if I come out, I'm going to have to take that phone call. And I'm kind of spent. So I got nothing left for anybody at the church. And so I wait back there with the kids, you know, until they're like really good and asleep, like 40 minutes later. Mm-hmm. And my kids are usually pretty good. They were actually out in about 5 minutes, but I stayed back there with them just to make sure. And I came out, and I came through the living room, and she didn't see me. I came down the hallway, and I could hear, I kind of saw her. She was sitting on the couch, and she was on the phone with this gal from the church. And I could hear her, still kind of catches me off guard. I could hear her telling this gal on the phone, just in a real tender voice, "Well, look with me real quick over here in John chapter 4, and let me show you something that's really, really powerful." And I could hear her ministering to this gal on the phone using God's word. And, oh my goodness, I was just so proud of her. I just thought, oh, this is a tender woman who, you know, just has great compassion. And I loved watching to see how much she had grown and, you know, how confident she was and how competent she was doing things. And I just thought, oh, you just amaze me, Lord. And so what's really convicted me about this, you guys, is I still think about Rebecca and I think, oh, she's so gifted in so many areas. And I don't know that I'm really giving her a good platform to go do all these great things that God's called her to do. But then I think, okay, not what does she want to do, but what has God called her to do? And I know God has called her to serve me and to minister to me and to care for the kids. And I just love watching her grow and develop as a spouse and as a mom and as a friend. And what I want to challenge you guys with is you need to start seeing your role. I know some of you are going to think, I got nothing to work with here, Chip, so you're going to help me. And I'm just telling you, you have got to start seeing your role as the champion and the cheerleader for your spouse. Think about what it feels like to be on the receiving end of someone who champions you. You know, someone who sees things in you that you don't even see in yourself, that they walk up to you and they go, "I could see this. I could see you being great at this." Imagine if that was your spouse telling you that. I'm telling you, that'll move you. So what I've done is, wherever you're at in your reengage lessons, there's one on this topic of what does it mean to champion someone. And I want you to think of these four roles, the four kind of progressions, the way that you can begin to do this, okay? So the first thing I want you to do is I really want you to ask God to begin to show you what some of those positive traits are about your spouse, okay? And I'm telling you, you might want to start with the things that rub you the wrong way, because those actually may be some positive things in there. But maybe you can only think of one, and that's okay. But you need to ask God to give you eyes to be able to see the way that He has gifted your spouse. So wives, you need to do this for your husband. You need to start asking God, how can I see some of the positive things? So just to be able to recognize it, that's the first step. The second thing is I really want you to begin to not only recognize those things, but I want you to be real simply grateful and to begin to pray and tell God, thanks for supporting me in my life by giving me this other person here who does that thing well. I struggle with being organized, you guys, and I constantly think about how my wife brings that to our marriage. If we needed that tool. If I didn't have that, we would be a mess. It'd be even worse than it is right now. If I didn't have a wife who had the gift of hospitality, we would be sunk. I could not do a lot of things. And I'm just crazy grateful that she invites people into our life. Even though it feels like a curse sometimes, I know it's a blessing. And I need to begin to tell God thank you for that. So I want you guys to be thankful for how your spouse is gifted. Here's the third thing, is I want you to be frank and simple and honest with your spouse about telling them, I really appreciate this about you. No strings attached. I'm not trying to give you the big head or the big ego. But I need to tell Rebecca more often, I am so grateful that you invite people into our home. Because if you didn't, we would have no influence in our community. We would have no impact in people's lives. It'd be 40 years would go by, and I wouldn't know anybody. I'd go to my funeral, and you and the kids would come. Maybe. That's how that would work. I'm dead serious. And I'd probably be okay with it. But Rebecca forces us into people's lives. And I need to tell her that. I need to tell her how grateful I am about that. And here's the last thing, is what does it mean to be a real champion? Means that you start to tell other people how great your spouse is. And I don't mean you have to make things up or to pretend that it's all great and hunky-dory. But I'm telling you, you need to become kind of a cheerleader for your spouse publicly. I embarrass my wife and my kids most of the time because I'm really committed to this. So we go out to eat. We eat dinner places. I just tell strangers how great my wife is. You're not going to believe how good she is. My kids would not eat if it was not for my wife. And they go, okay, good to know. Thanks. Is that how you guys got here to the restaurant? I'm like, yep, that's how we got here. And so you guys need to start telling some other people about how wonderfully gifted your spouse is. Even if it's a small thing, you need to be what I like to call a herald. Okay? I've been thinking about this. I've been actually thinking about trying to hire a herald for me. You know what a herald is? You know, a herald is someone who kind of comes in and announces how great you are. There's kind of a joke at DTS. I've actually talked to a couple of spouses or students about playing this role for me. Like, before I go into the classroom, I need to have someone go in and announce that I'm coming in and what a great professor I am and all that stuff. Now, I haven't pulled that on you guys yet, but if that happens, you'll just know this is where that comes from. So, as a spouse, you guys need to become a herald. And so one of my favorite clips is from a movie called A Knight's Tale. Do you guys remember this one? Yeah, and so there's this guy, Geoffrey Chaucer, who's like the herald for this knight. And so I want you guys to watch this last little clip, and then I'll pray for us, and we'll head out. You need to be the herald for your spouse.
My lords! My ladies! And everybody else here not sitting on a cushion. Today, you find yourselves equals. For you are all equally blessed. For I have the pride, the privilege, nay, the pleasure of introducing to you a knight sired by knights, a knight who can trace his lineage back beyond Charlemagne. I first met him atop a mountain near Jerusalem, praying to God, asking his forgiveness for the Saracen blood spilt by his sword. Next! He amazed me still further in Italy when he saved a fatherless beauty from the would-be ravishings of her dreadful Turkish uncle. In Greece, he spent a year in silence just to better understand the sound of a whisper. And so, without further gilding the lily, and with no more ado, I give to you the seeker of serenity, the protector of Italian virginity, the enforcer of our Lord God, the one, the only, Sir Ulrich von Liechtenstein!
My lord, the Count Adhemar, son of Philip de Vitry.
There you go. Now that's an introduction. So I'm going to challenge you guys. You need to come up with a great cheer for your spouse. And so you need to tell them, and you need to be able to walk into a room and tell your kids or tell your neighbor how great your spouse is. I hope that you guys realize that you're missing out on a great way to love your spouse if you don't want to champion them. So champion your spouse and enjoy being championed by them as well. Let me pray, and then I've got a couple announcements for you, okay? Father, thank you so much that this idea of becoming our cheerleader, of becoming our advocate and our defender, was not just kind of our idea, but it was yours. And Father, we have been loved by you that way. And so we just thank you so much for how you have modeled that in our lives. I pray that this one simple trait would be true of our marriage. Not that we would have to make things up about each other to just kind of spin the public opinion, but that we would just be deeply honest about how you have gifted our spouses and just the real neat privilege that we have to support them as they follow you with all their hearts. So, Father, teach us how to encourage each other and to spur each other on and how to love each other in this really unique way. Father, we love you and we trust you, and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.